When someone in your family is going through depression, it's hard to know what to say, and I said everything wrong. I'm Sam. Our family went through it, and I just kept saying, come on, let's get it together. The thing I should have been saying is, let's get you to the center, a place of hope. It's a place for you or a place for someone you love who's struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, eating disorders. So many success stories. It's personal to me. They've actually saved the lives of people I love. If you felt like, I don't know what to do to dig out of this really dark place, and you've tried everything and you can't think of what to do next, make a phone call right now. Call the Center, a Place of Hope.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the Center, a Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our hosts, Dr. Tim and Zach Clinton.
Hey, Jim, thanks so much. We're backstage here at our Extraordinary Women event. Our theme this year is our Grace and Mercy Tour. We are in Tulsa, Oklahoma at the Mabee Center, 8,000 women. Demi Lee Tebow just came off the stage and is joining us today. Demi Lee is a best-selling author of A Crown That Lasts, You Are Not Your Label, as well as her upcoming book, which will be our topic of conversation today, Princess Paris Finds Her Purpose. She's also a renowned speaker. She is actually also Miss South Africa, as well as the former Miss Universe. Dad is in the house as well, co-hosting alongside of me today.
Demi just rocked the stage out there at the Extraordinary Women Conference. We're delighted to have you backstage. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me.
We've had Tim at so many events, and yes, we're so delighted to have you. We're here at the Mabee Center.
Yep.
In Tulsa, Oklahoma. 8,000 women out there at the event. You just got done speaking, Demi. Yes. What a great message. I mean, you and Tim are in a special season of life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't just eat a whole loaf of sourdough bread. There's a little Tebow on the way. We're so grateful. We're so excited. So excited.
And
so
I figured,
any parenting tips are very welcome. People ask us if we're ready for this, and absolutely not. I don't know if you're ever fully ready, but I will say I think we're ready to be adaptable for the rest of our lives, and just so grateful for the responsibility that God's trusted us with, and man, just the greatest blessing.
Something that I love, Demi, is the new children's book.
Yeah.
Princess Paris Finds Her Purpose. Mm-hmm. Really based on your guys' dog, right? Dalmatian, yeah, named Paris.
Yep.
Speak to the heart of that book, if you would.
You know, Paris is like our little wild child. She's such a little, like, rugrat. She just gets into trouble and makes a mess of things. And I always joke and say, I'm like, she is so smart, too smart for her own good. She needs a job. Like, she needs a purpose. She needs to find her purpose. And I mean, so much so that we've had to change the door handles on all of our doors in the house. They're like the opposite. So you open our doors like this way.
Okay.
Because she taught herself how to open up doors. And yes, I probably should have just changed into the round handles. But anyway, it's done now. You know, my first book, A Crown That Lasts, was written with the premise of, just the overarching message of identity and purpose, and where do we root that in? Where that identity, even when life gets hard, even when those doors close, when our faith is rattled, where we get to hold on to identity that is everlasting and not based on things that are temporary. And I remember trying to explain that concept to my nieces and nephews and my goddaughter. And, you know, I was like, whoa, this is a really tough message to, you know, to explain to a little one. And so Princess Paris Finds Her Purpose was born. And ultimately, this book is to make God's love real and tangible for little hearts.
I remember when my daughter Megan was little, Demi, I would like to read to her at night. And did the same thing with Zach coming up through. But there was so much that happened in those conversations. And you go back, and as I began to read about parenting myself, and I was we got baptized by fire, and I was just trying to figure it all out. But one of the things that stuck with me was every kid needs someone, at least one person in his or her life who's crazy about him. You know, that, and they impart this, quote, beautiful gift that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you are in the image of God. And Demi, when you begin to realize that God has no greater plan than for parents to be that sort of conduit, see that in those early formation years, to channel that message into the hearts of kids, it becomes really tender. It becomes really beautiful. You hold, when you hold that baby for the first time, it's going to be, and you already know. I mean, for guys, it's a different thing. I mean, we don't really, you're sitting here touching my stomach. I'm thinking, it was, for men, they don't really get there until that moment, and there's something special.
You're saying we have a little bit of an advantage.
But it's a beautiful, beautiful thing to be a mom or dad with that responsibility. And so this book begins to make sense because I was thinking, Tim and Demi book, you know, the kids book. Okay, now I see it. It's starting to play.
And the funny thing is I actually wrote this manuscript a year ago, long before I even, you know, knew that we would be having a baby. And I mean, the timing is so special and so sweet to know that I'll get to, you know, read this book to my own little baby, you know, very soon. It's just, just so kind of God too, in such a great way. And to share that message of, you know, I hope that this book inspires conversation between parents and their kids on how to, from a young age, start learning about purpose and our calling in our life. And those are big concepts to grasp. But, you know, I think it can be such a big concept to grasp, but it is also actually so much simpler than we realize. You know, I think I struggled with finding that purpose for such a long time in my life because I made it so much more complex than it really ever was intended to be. You see, we're all gifted with special gifts, special talents, special, you know, feelings, hearts, things that make us unique. You know, the Bible is full of scripture that tells us that there is a perfect plan and purpose for each of our lives. I wanted to make that so much more complex than it needed to be, instead of just looking at the things that were right in front of me, the things that I've already been blessed with as a child of God, and to use that to glorify Him. Ultimately, you know, to not exalt myself, but to exalt Him. And there are so many ways that we can do that every single day, that we can find our purpose where it's right here in front of us.
Yes, Demi, you're someone who can speak toward this identity piece, because at the end of the day, we live in a comparison culture that's built on perceived perfection. I think technology, social media, a lot of those things exacerbate the comparison that's really bleeding into, and I would even say kind of infecting the lives, especially of our next generation. But the pageant space that you lived in for a long time, that's a very competitive world. Just speak to that. But then also, I know 2017 was a big year for you, Miss South Africa, Miss Universe. What was that culmination like for you personally?
I think I've always had a competitive spirit to start off with.
Yeah, I like that.
So that's why earlier I spoke and I said when Tim and I first met, we didn't have a ton in common. But that was one thing we had in common. You think he's competitive on that pickleball court? Wait until you see this girl.
So, I like it.
He still beats me so far, but I mean, I definitely can't even hold my own. But anyway, so that's why we play teams and not singles. So anyway, definitely something we had in common. But the pageant world is very competitive. And I think it's probably something a lot of people don't really realize if you're not, you know, if you've never been in that world. But I spent months, just to give you an idea, training in all spheres of life, whether that's from a public speaking perspective to quite physically training. You know, you have one shot, Miss Universe, when you get to go and compete. You never get to compete again. It's, you know, it's, I mean, I love the Olympics and have so much respect for athletes, but you can't go back in 4 years and try again. Like, there's one shot and then it's over. That's because right. You can't be your country's representative another time. It'd be weird if I go back to Miss South Africa and be like, hey, I'm back. I'm gonna re-enter. So it really is a once in a lifetime opportunity, and it's one that I definitely didn't want to waste for my sake, for my country's sake, for the people that entrusted me in that role. And so you put in so many hours, years of training, of hard work, of spending way too much time in high heels. And I think the one thing that was really hard in that time, I spent so much time trying to figure out what I was supposed to say, you know, in interviews and certain situations, instead of spending time figuring out what I truly thought or felt about certain things. I spent a lot of time trying to learn to be diplomatic, because that's, you know, kind of part of the role. And I mean, of course, there's, you know, respectful ways to do all kinds of things. But I think that affected me personally and my identity, where I tried to fit that mold and fit that label, wear that label. And once I won that crown and the time came where I had to give that back, that's when I really had no idea who I was without it. You know, I said, you know, who are we when everything we had to show up for day after day is no longer there? And man, that hit me like a ton of bricks the day I had to give that crown back to the very rightful next, you know, worthy winner. It sent me spiraling into a season that was really hard, that made me feel like time was just being wasted. Nothing good was happening. It was a lonely season. It was a messy season. It felt like I was never going to come out of that season. And, you know, I viewed that as a waiting season that was wasted. But, you know, the great thing is when we seek God, he sometimes shows up and shows you just where he's been in
it.
He
has a way of doing that.
He has a way of doing that, you know, more often than not.
That's right.
And I was asking, see, in that season, I was asking the wrong question all along, because I was saying, well, God, why? You know, why am I stuck in this season? Why don't I know what my purpose is? Why are there all these closed doors? Why am I so lonely? Why is it so messy? Instead of saying, God, where are you in this? And the moment I changed that mindset and changed that heart posture to say, God, where are you in this? You know, where can I seek you in this? Man, he is just showing up in all the behind the scenes, backstage, lonely, messy moments. And, you know, showing me what my real worth and value is in really through who he is. And the more I got to know him, the more I got to understand who I was created to be.
Demi, I think you rocked the crowd out there. You really did with this message, because probably shocked them a little bit about this whole identity piece, and you, it like doesn't make sense. But as you unpacked it, it began to make sense. Here's why. I think about our daughters and our granddaughters for a moment. The CDC came out a couple of years ago, 2021-ish, and said that they had found that 57% of our daughters felt persistently sad. They also found in that same research project that 30% of our daughters and our granddaughters had seriously contemplated suicide in 2021. In our world, that's not a mental health crisis, that's a mental health disaster.
Yeah, gosh.
I mean, that's chaos on wheels here for a moment. And then Jonathan Haidt's book came out and talked about the anxious generation, today's generations, and he was in particularly concerned about young adolescent girls, young women, and the real fight for them, because Zach had referenced this comparison culture. They get up online and they get lost in this spin, and they get so confused. Bringing clarity that you're not your label, and that your identity is in a creator God who loves you and that Psalm 139 piece and more. And you talk about that. Take us down that road, as I think, as you look at today's young women, the next generation coming up through, and as you're soon to be a parent, you know, and more, just how's all that wired together, that messaging?
Yeah, I think I also have read a stat where it says that a child's worldview is formed by the age of 13, right, if I'm not mistaken. And I mean, gosh, like, that's such a young, impressionable age, but your whole worldview is already formed at that stage. So, you know, I think as a soon-to-be parent, the amount of responsibility that I feel to be able to teach my son or daughter, you know, the way that they get to perceive themselves through the way that God sees them, right? And the way that he's created them. I think understanding that humanity is the crown of creation. You know, there's two things that the Bible says will last for all of eternity, and that's God's word and its people. And the impact that we get to have in people's lives have the potential to have an everlasting impact. Amen. So, you know, I take that responsibility so seriously to have that impact. But that's, I think my hope with that message today was, what are the things that we root our identity in that will last, that will stand, even when we pack up that corner office, even when, you know, we don't make that sports team, even when we get cut from that team, even when we get sidelined because of an injury, even when our grades don't get us into that dream college, or we just don't get that acceptance letter. You know, what are the things that we root our identity in? And quite frankly and honestly, I have not been able to find that thing, because when we root that value and that worth in things that are temporary, ultimately our life experiences, it sends us on this roller coaster of feeling like we're not enough, feeling like we're an imposter, feeling, you know, like we're stuck in that fear of failure so often. But when we root our identity in our Creator, who is never changing, who is always fixed, who is always trustworthy, and who is, I think, the most important part in me, bigger than just myself, that's when I get to have a lasting confidence.
Yes. Something Dad always taught me growing up was that our worth, value, and identity are detached from our performance. And that's why I think I really resonated with what you're sharing out there, right? To those 8,000 women, was this idea that it can be easy to confuse our platform with our purpose, as you mentioned, not becoming your worth and value, but believing your inherent God-given worth and value that he's already entrusted to you, Demi. Yeah. And when I think about you and Tim, two words come to mind. It's missional and it's urgency. I believe that God will shift our assignments, but he never shifts our mission. And for you guys, I'm just interested, what is that urgency in you guys that really sparks you guys to continue to go out and to preach the good news of the gospel and stay on mission every single day?
Yeah. Gosh, Tim actually says it so well. You know, one thing he's like, if you don't go out and tell people of the good news of the gospel, is it because you don't believe it, or is it because you just don't care enough about people? And that's something that's convicted me so much. You know, I remember, this is such a simple, stupid example, but I don't get my nails done anymore. Apparently it's toxic for you, but I don't get my nails done anymore. But a couple years ago, I used to love getting my nails
done. Zach gets his done, so.
Oh, okay. Time for that nice red color. Well, I went to this nail salon, and there was a guy that they just, you know, kind of go, and whoever has space, they put you in front of them, and they get your nails done. And it was COVID, and there was a screen up between us, and it was around Christmas time, and I remember wanting to get, like, a nice red color for Christmas, right? And I was trying to make conversation, but it was hard because the screen was in between us, and there was a language barrier. We didn't speak each other's first languages at all, and I was trying to, you know, I realized he celebrated Christmas with his family. He bought his kids gifts, etc. And he celebrated with friends, but he had no idea what Christmas was about. Even with the language barrier, I knew that he had no idea who this Jesus guy was and why we actually celebrated Christmas. And that was so sad to me, because, you know, that those gifts are things that are temporary, but the gift of life that God gives us, that he can give us through salvation, is is eternal, right? And I wanted him to have that so bad that I went back to that nail salon just about every week. I mean, you don't really need to get your nails done other than like once every 4 or 5 weeks. I went back there. I mean, my poor nails were so broke, but I went back there and I made sure I got to this guy and I got to speak to him. I mean, I took tracks and I took books and I tried to get books in his language and I tried to make conversation, and I just felt so defeated because I just couldn't get a breakthrough. And I was like, Lord, please help me out here. I don't know what to do anymore. I am trying my absolute, I can't get my nails done one more time and they're gonna think I'm weird. But you know what? In that moment, I realized that my job is to keep planting those seeds and that I need to keep doing my job. As long as I do my job, I don't need to be defeated, because God always does his job and we are co-laborers with him, but we have to show up and do our job. And I don't know what God's plan is with his life or with his timeline, but I trust that it's there and I trust that I need to keep doing my job. And you know, the other thing is, and it's one of the things that we've based our foundation on, is that we don't operate on our timeline. We don't know what tomorrow holds, and we operate on the people we get to serve and love on. We operate on their timeline. And you had the word mission, right? Like, when, you know, a mission is something that usually happens pretty soon, pretty quickly, pretty urgently. I remember, I'll just say this last thing. I experienced a pretty horrific carjack situation a couple of years ago, and it was awful. I managed to get away from that situation, but nobody would stop to help me. Broad daylight, peak hour traffic, half past 5 in the afternoon, ran up this big avenue. Nobody would stop to help me. I knocked on window after window. And eventually, this young girl, she's 19 years old, stopped to let me into her car and took me to safety. And I just remember how grateful I was that she wasn't operating on her timeline.
Yeah.
That even though she had a place to get to, it was after work probably, she had plans, she was willing for those plans to be interrupted, to be put on hold, to operate on my timeline, which was pretty urgent in that moment. So
I love that. Hey, if you're out there and you're on a journey and you may be wondering about the love of God, who you are in the midst of all of it, does God have a plan for my life? What is my purpose? You might want to jump into A Crown That Lasts.
That's right.
You know, that you're not your label. And by the way, if you're raising little ones, those ones who are saying, hey, Dad, watch me, watch me, watch me. And that's going to be coming pretty soon, Demi.
How about all the why questions?
Princess Paris finds purpose. What a beautiful gift.
Yes.
And that's what this is all about. It's the creator of the universe who loves us and says, I love you with an everlasting love.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A steadfast love. Mm-hmm. And your relationship with me is your strength.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's the same thing we have with each other, mm-hmm. especially in our parent-child relationships and more.
Mm-hmm. Demi, where can our audience go to maybe pick up a copy of those books, as well as to find out more about you, about Tim, the Tim Tebow Foundation, Unbreakable, A Night to Shine? What's the one-stop shop?
Yeah, well, anything, Night to Shine, Tim Tebow Foundation, timtebowfoundation.org. And me, Tim, you can find us on social media. Just Demi Tebow, I always joke and say I first knew Tim's last name is Tebow. So my dad still calls us the Tebows.
I love that.
So go look for the Tebows. We're there.
Demi, we love and appreciate you and Tim. Thank you so much for what you offered us and the countless lives. Thank you for the mission, the urgency you live with. We can't wait to meet baby Tebow someday.
There you go.
Oh, gosh. Makes two of us. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
If someone in your family has depression or anxiety, it's hard to know what to do. We went through that. I'm Sam. The center is a place of hope. Lives are being healed. God is changing families.
Coming to the center it's just life altering. My relationship with my husband, my relationship with my family.
Struggling to keep it all together, or no one knows, or you're hiding things, or you feel like you've hit some crisis.
It's amazing to think that there could be so much change.
Man, I'm so grateful for the center. It's so helpful for me, and I'm so hopeful.
The center, a place of hope. Call today. A lot of people are surprised that insurance can help cover this.
Dive in, give yourself all to it. Watch what happens.
Call the Center, a Place of Hope, right now.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the center. A Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.